How do I move this fucking thing down?
Too technical for you?
Too technical for you?
Righty tighty, lefty loosey. I think you're just unscrewing the whole thing from the base.
Jesus.
Right now?
That's too low.
Hello! And welcome to episode 81 of Darren and Matt's 80s Adventure.
My name is Matt.
And my name is Darren.
And this week we are looking at
The Naked Gun from the files of Police Squad. Is that the actual title? I know it seems to be.
Yeah, apparently so.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it?
Well, do I then put on the title for the podcast? I suppose I should do.
Or we could just put Naked Gun.
All right, I'll put Naked Gun.
Okay, yeah. That's what everyone knows it as, surely.
Don't call me Shirley. Which is not from this, is it? That's from Airplane.
Same writers, though.
Yep.
Producers, directors, actors. Yeah. So yeah, we're going back to 1988 this week.
Yes, we are, Butterwings.
Thanks, but don't call me Butterwings.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Snooky Lumps.
Oh, you've written down all the quotes. Nice. Like, I should have done a quote fucking question. Right. Anyway, yes.
Okay, Sugar Puff.
All right, Fishy Lips.
Whoa.
I don't know. Good week.
Yeah, do you know what? I've spent most of it with you, so you know what the week I've had.
That is true. We've had a very boozy week and a healthy week.
And a healthy week, yeah. Both been to the gym.
Yes, yeah.
Both went to watch Titanic on the IMAX screen.
Yeah.
4K, 3D.
3D.
All the numbers and
ICI,
letters you need.
B&Q. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it was amazing, wasn't it?
Tits.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, we saw Kate Winslet in 3D and I saw you reaching your arms out.
Yeah. No, it was phenomenal.
It was absolutely beautiful. I mean, it's 25 years later, it still holds up.
Yeah, yeah.
I just wish we could do it on this podcast, but we can't.
We can't. Maybe we'll do a spin-off at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for the 50th anniversary. Jeez, can you imagine? Well, we'll still be going. I've got no intention of stopping.
We also saw some friends this week, went round for some dinner. And
we did, yeah. We had a great night on Friday.
Played Jackbox.
Which I'd never played before.
Oh, it's good, isn't it?
Octopus, that's all I'm saying.
Octopus. You can be so naughty with it, can't you?
Not when the kids are around.
Not when the kids are
around. Unfortunately, it's frowned upon, I think.
But so, yeah, I've seen you a lot this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. And give me a few more sangrias. You'll probably see a lot more of me.
Whoa.
What?
Yeah, it has been a cracking week, actually. I've enjoyed it. It's been a really
change that
week.
Subject. What? I might just sit on the end of your sofa completely nude with a tea towel on my head.
Okay. And ask me to draw you like one of my French girls.
One of my German ladies.
Wearing only this.
Yeah. Draw me like one of your Cornish birds.
With six fingers.
Right. High six. Fucking hell. Yes, so... Should we do The Naked Gun then?
Yeah, let's look at
Let's
the go naked
back
gun.
To 1988.
All right, Darren, so here are some facts from 1988. So The Naked Gun came out on the 2nd of December 1988. And looking at the charts for that week, in the UK we had, I think we've had this before,
right.
Tucker the Man and His Dream.
Yeah, I don't think we'd heard of it then, and I just don't remember what the fuck it is now.
Nope. Cocoon the Return, so it's the second of the Cocoon films. And number three was The Naked Window.
There's a lot of nakedness in this chart this week.
There is.
Mm.
Number two was Scrooged.
Mm-hmm.
And number one, Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
I don't know.
Well, we can't tell people, that'd be spoilers. In the States, number five was Oliver and Company. At four was Land Before Time.
Again.
Three, Tequila Sunrise.
Ooh.
Number two was Scrooged.
Okay.
And number one, even though it was a limited release, The Naked Gun.
The Naked Gun, straight
that
in at number
came
one.
Came in at number one, yeah, even with a limited release.
Nice.
Some other facts, and we are really scraping the barrel. This is getting more difficult every week. So, did you know in 1988 there was a Dirty Dancing TV show?
Maybe.
It lasted 11 episodes.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good going for American TV series.
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing it was all filmed and they went, yeah, let's do it. Also, but
even so, they still don't want to get cancelled after three or four bloody episodes.
Yep.
Ridiculous.
It's also the same year that we had a RoboCop cartoon.
Oh, I think I do remember that.
See, that's the weird thing. So they would always release cartoons of these films that were 18 films rated films.
But I also remember the TV series of RoboCop, which was fucking shite.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know what the animated one was like, but I never saw it.
I guess we didn't get over here. I don't know.
I think we might have, but maybe a bit later, as was the case with all our stuff, was a little bit later.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the UK, ITV did launch a new Saturday morning kids show called Motormouth.
Motormouth. Yeah, that was with... What's his face? Whose name? I can't remember. I can see his face.
Oh, yeah. Describe it to us.
Not Pat Sharp, is it?
Gaz Top?
Oh, I had Neil Buchanan in my head.
Might be.
Neil Bukkake in my head.
I'm literally... I didn't write down who was in it.
All right, I don't know.
So.
Yeah, can't remember.
Also, right, then I looked into some headlines.
Right.
From the 80s.
Freddie Starr ate my hamster.
Not far off.
Jim Davison at my chihuahua.
From the same newspaper that brought you that.
Yeah.
Sunday Sport.
Mm-hmm. Right. Classic.
From the 14th of August, 1988.
Yeah.
The headline that week was, World War II bomber found on moon.
Right. Well, you know, that's been borne out to be absolutely true.
So, well, mm-hmm. Can you guess, Darren? Can you guess the next week's headline?
Nuclear weapon found in Katie Price's twat.
No.
Oh, no?
All right. Next week's... So, 14th of August, 1988, World War II bomber found on moon. The 21st of August, World War II bomber found on moon vanishes.
Ooh.
I mean, seriously.
Where did it go?
I mean, we're guessing it was just a trick of the light. Right? I mean, I'm assuming there wasn't a World War II bomber
found
on the moon.
Nobody knows for sure.
Fucking hell. So there we are. That is
British journalism at its best.
That is it.
And at least they weren't killing any princesses that week.
Wow, I should never let you have sangria before we start. So those are the facts from 1988. How about we look at the charts?
The Naked Gun was released on the 2nd of December 1988, and so this week we are looking at the UK Top 10 for the week commencing the 27th of November 1988. At number 10 this week, rising 9 places, it's Bomb the Bass featuring Maureen and Say a Little Prayer. Falling 5 places from last week's 4 to this week's 9, it's Salt and Pepper and Twist and Shout. Up 4 places to this week's 8 is Michael Jackson and Smooth Criminal. And in at number 7 this week, it's Cliff Richard and Mistletoe and Wine. Last week's 16 is this week's 6, it's Phil Collins and Two Hearts. Last week's 2 is this week's 5, it's INXS and Need You Tonight. Up 3 places to number 4, it's Pet Shop Boys and Left to My Own Devices. And into the top 3, it's a non-mover for Krista Berg and Missing You. This week's highest new entry is at number 2, it's Bross and Cat Among the Pigeons and Silent Night. Which means it's a non-mover at number 1 for Robin Beck and First Time. And that was the UK Top 10 for the week commencing the 27th of November 1988.
What was number 10?
Number 10, yeah. Say a Little Prayer from Bomb the Bass and Maureen.
Was that the lady from driving school?
I think it might be a little bit early for that. I remember her. She was cree-cree.
All I can think of when you said Maureen. That was Maureen from driving school.
Yeah.
If you don't know who that is, just YouTube it. I'm sure you'll find plenty of stuff.
That was pretty much, well, not the first, but it was one of the first big fly on the wall documentary type things.
Yeah.
Basically watching a bunch of idiots try and pass their driving tests.
That was it.
Yeah. And she, fucking hell.
Should not be driving.
She was unique. Let's put it that way. Yeah, but that's not a bad top 10 at all. Actually, I think that's the only one out of those that I don't know.
So I'm guessing the role of the eyes was Bross.
They can't see a role of the eyes. Yeah, of course. Fucking ridiculous. Straight in at number two. Pair of talentless twats. I'm sure they're nice people. Watch the documentary. But Salt and Pepper, they're great. Michael Jackson, Cliff Richard, Phil Collins, NXS, Pet Shop Boy, Chris de Burgh, and Robin Beck at number one. Good stuff. I think we have this conversation every time. Do you remember Robin Beck?
Yes.
Yeah. The Coca-Cola song. Yeah, so that's not bad at all. Just outside the top 10 at 11, you've got Real Gone Kid from Deacon Blue.
Good song.
One of the best songs of the 80s. At 12, Take Me to Your Heart from Rick Astley.
Take me to your heart. Never let me go. Thanks, Rick.
Not brilliant, but I'd be like Rick.
Well, you would not say no.
Quite. 15, He Ain't No Competition, appalling English, from Brother Beyond. 16, Suddenly, from Angry Anderson. Do you remember that song? Charlene and...
Scott?
Scott and Charlene's wedding song.
Oh, right.
Neighbours. Great, great tune.
I don't know where the Scott came from there. I don't know. That was somewhere in the depths of my mind.
That's it. At 17, Yaz, Stand Up For Your Love Rights. 19, Nathan Jones, Bananarama. 21, Je Ne Sais Pas Pourquoi, from Kylie Minogue. I don't know what that means. 22, Girl, You Know It's True, Minnie Vanilli. 23, She Makes My Day, Robert Palmer. 24, Kissing a Fool, George Michael. 25, nice. 1, 2, 3, Gloria Estefan and Miami Sound Machine. 27, Orinoco Flow from Enya.
I quite like Orinoco Flow.
Yeah, it's a great, great tune. 33, Kokomo from the Beach Boys.
Oh, you see. It basically is this week's chart all the stuff that's hard to say.
Yeah. 34, Burning Bridges, Status Quo. That's not so bad. 37, Downtown 88 from Petula Clark. 38, one of my favourites, Let's Stick Together from Brian Ferry. 39, Twisted My Sobriety from Tanita Tikaram. And 40, We Call It Acid from D-Mob featuring Gary Haseman. Yeah.
That's a good chart.
Not a bad chart at all. Mm. Yeah.
Just before Crimbo as well.
Yes, I won't do the thing, but there we go. So that was the UK pop charts from 27th of November.
Wonderful. Well, I tell you what, then I suppose we should move into your challenge.
Challenge.
So every week, Darren has a challenge to get from last week's film to this week's film in a certain number of steps. Now, Darren has one step to get from last week's film, which was...
Good Morning Vietnam!
...to this week's film, which is...
The Naked Gun.
Can it be done?
Let's find out. As Matthew said, I've got one step this week to get from Good Morning Vietnam to The Naked Gun. And as we know, Bruno Kirby was one of the stars of Good Morning Vietnam. And so that's where we're going to start this week. Oh, and finish. So step one. Bruno Kirby was in Modern Romance with George Kennedy, who played Ed in The Naked Gun.
Hey.
And that's the one-step challenge.
Hey, well done, my friend.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that didn't take too long this week.
So now it's going to reset to five steps for next
five
week.
Five for the next episode. Hey, episode 82.
Oh, my goodness. Where is the time going?
I know. We'll be on 100 soon.
Wow.
And we've got big changes.
Yeah, we do. We've
lined
been, we've
up,
been talking
we?
About
yeah.
a lot
we've
of stuff.
We've had a coming. Few meetings yep. and ting.
Yep, over beers.
Yeah.
About what's going to happen from 100 onwards. And we are going to not reboot the whole thing, but
no,
we're
not
going to make some lot of changes and
keep it trunk, keep it fresh. Yep. But for us and for everyone else. So if you've got any ideas, write in with some ideas for us to challenges or...
This is where we get emails just going, stop.
Please stop.
Finish at 100. It's enough.
Enough is enough. Yeah. No, if you've got any ideas for things you'd like us to do, any challenges or setups, mm-hmm. or even films you want us to cover, yeah, please get in touch.
Message us on Facebook or even podcast at atheistadventure.com.
Exactly. Right, well, that was the challenge. Let's have a little... fucking hell, that sangria's kicked in.
Oh, the sangria's kicked in. Okay,
yeah. So, let's initial reactions.
Well, okay, before I do my initial reactions or your initial reactions.
Okay, then.
You know what we've got this week?
I think I do.
Yes, we do.
We need a jingle for this, don't we?
We do have a reaction.
Ask Wenders. Ask Wenders.
So we do. We have a little snippet from my mother's. I mean, this is a classic as well. Have a listen.
Right, okay, I'm sat here with Mother and we're about to watch Naked Gun. What do you think it's about?
Playing with guns naked?
No, why would you think I'd watch a film playing with guns naked with you? No.
No idea.
Okay, nice. A gun without bullets. A gun without bullets, no. Okay, right, we'll see.
So I love the fact that...
Has she never seen it before then?
Well, I think she had.
Right, okay.
Playing with guns naked. I was like, really? Do you think that's... I'm going to, you know, a lot of people running around nude. But then now we get into the real critic head afterwards.
Right.
Okay, so I think she's loving this. She embraces the fact that, you know, she knows that people are listening to this.
Dun,
so,
dun, dun,
so then she always gets dun, dun. She always gets on like a phone voice afterwards, like, well, what I thought was... But here we are. Here is the reaction after the film.
All right, we have just finished The Naked Gun. What do you think, Mum?
I really enjoyed it. When it first started, I thought, what a load of rubbish. But I have never laughed so much in a long time. Really funny, really stupid. Just great.
All right, out of 10?
Oh, definitely 10.
10? Oh. You are way too easy with your ratings, I tell you. Now I know where I get it from.
So that was it. She gave it
10 out of 10. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
High praise indeed.
Well, the Pinot Grigio had nothing to do with that.
Nice bit of Pinot.
So there we are.
Excellent.
That was, Wendy's reaction to it.
Nice. Nice.
I mean, people playing with guns naked. What, I mean, really?
I'd like to see that film. Actually, there's probably loads of them on the dark web. Yeah. Let's not go there. So, yes, being an odd numbered episode, you get to go first.
I remember really, really loving this film when I was growing up, and I was a little bit nervous going in, mm-hmm. thinking, oh, what if it doesn't hold up, and what if I'm just bored the entire time? The runtime shocked me an awful lot. It's you know, it's an hour 25 minutes.
Bit short, isn't it?
It is a bit too short. Yeah, I didn't laugh as much as I thought I was going to.
Right.
But I don't know if that's maybe because I remembered some of the jokes or because it was just... When you think of the Naked Gun stuff now, I think of the trilogy of the mm-hmm. films and some jokes. I was thinking, oh, is this coming up? And I'm like, no, it's not that film. And that being said, I still had a good time with it. I think some of the jokes haven't aged particularly well.
Right.
But some bits just maybe just... laugh out loud, you know, it's something would happen, there'd be a line straight back and I'd be like, oh, that's brilliant, that is so clever. So yeah, I enjoyed it, mm-hmm. and it didn't destroy it for me, put it that way. I still enjoyed it. I just maybe had it on a higher shelf,
pedestal, okay,
higher
echelon
than this viewing gave me, or the viewings gave me. Okay. So yeah, I still enjoyed it, but I think it's a good place to set up for the sequels and whatever else, and mm-hmm. it's a good place to start. But I did think it was a touch too short.
Okay. Right. My initial reaction is I was as trepidatious as you going into it. I haven't watched this film in such a long time. Maybe not even this century. That's how long it's been since I've watched
it. Wow.
So I watched it this morning. And in this reaction, I needn't have worried. I laughed like a fucking train.
Oh, good.
I really enjoyed it. It just, yeah, it needs a little bit more flesh on the bones in places. But it is so funny. And the cast are phenomenal. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. So that's my initial reaction.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Right, well, now we got those out of the way. How about we top up our sangrias?
Okay, then.
And... go deeper into it.
Mm. Naked people with guns.
I know, right?
And we're back!
Part two of Darren and Matt's 80s Adventure, where we are looking at naked people playing with guns, as my mother calls it.
Yes, we are. And regular listeners to the podcast will know that at this point in said podcast, Matt has a challenge to give us the synopsis of the film. And he has as many seconds as the film has minutes.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Matthew, how long was the film?
It was 1 hour and 25 minutes.
So you have 1 minute, 25 seconds to give us the synopsis. Are you ready?
I need about 10 seconds, so yeah, exactly. Go for it.
Okay, so let's have the jingle. And if you're still ready, go.
Frank Drebin starts the film by beating up threats to America before we get to the now iconic title sequence. His partner Norberg stumbles upon a nefarious gang and is nearly killed. Frank, upon returning, sets out to find out what is going on. Norberg gives him a clue in the name of a boat, so Frank goes to see the owner Ludwig and falls for his secretary Jane. Ludwig asks Jane to spend some more time with Frank. Ludwig shows off his mind control tech while there is another attempt on Norberg's life, and Jane seduces Frank and they have very safe, sexy time in some giant condoms. Frank goes to Ludwig's office after dark and after some hijinks finds out that he's been contracted to kill the Queen who is about to visit. Frank accidentally burns down the evidence and the office. Frank manages to save the Queen's life at a hotel but ends up in a compromising position with her. Frank finds out the assassination is going down at a baseball match. Frank uses multiple disguises in order to get closer to the would-be assassin, and during a fight caused by Frank, a player tries to shoot the Queen. And by pure fluke, Frank saves the day. Ludwig threatens to kill Jane, and Frank stops him by causing him to fall off a building and remote activating, causing Jane to become a sleeper agent. By the power of love, Frank and Jane break the mind control, and a recovering Norberg is shown to the stadium, only to be pushed down a flight of stairs by Frank.
Okay, then. Right, so just remind us, how long was the film?
125.
125. You did it in,
right,
drum roll, 125.11 seconds.
Oh my
Bang
God.
Bang on. That's the first time in a long time.
Hey, okay, let's drink to that.
Absolutely.
Cheersy.
Cheersy.
Well, yeah, yeah. Sangria.
Mm-hmm. Today I'm off to turn it's been.
So, in the looks for alternate casting stuff, a lot of the cast came across from the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So the only real reference I could find about an alternate casting for this was Bo Derek was the first choice for Jane.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
I can't imagine anyone apart from Priscilla doing
no,
it.
No,
She's just...
I can sort of see Bo Derek because she does that sort of...
sultry
comedy,
siren.
Yeah. Comedy, not comedy thing quite well. Dudley Moore, is it 10? Is that what it's called? Isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I can see that, but no, I think Priscilla Presley is superb in this. Really good.
So there we are. That's the ultimate casting. Yeah.
I don't know if they actually considered bringing across the original turns from Police Squad. I think it had been 6 years since.
Yeah. I mean,
didn't realise there were only 6 episodes.
No.
Yeah. 6 episodes. That was it.
See, I thought that's a bit like the Fawlty Towers thing, isn't it? Where Fawlty Towers did 2 seasons.
Cancelled after 1 series.
Wow.
I had no idea. I thought it went on and on and on.
I thought there was loads of them.
Yeah. I thought it was still running up until the point where they made the film.
So Norberg was recast.
Yeah. Originally, the character, I think, was called Norberg.
Yes.
Yeah. George Kennedy wasn't in the TV series. That was somebody else.
Okay.
But Big Al.
Oh, yeah.
Genius. That's the same Big Al.
How can you tell?
IMDb.
Right, okay.
Well, let's go deeper into it then, shall we?
Mm.
I had no idea until I read up and watched things on it. This is one of the last films, Hollywood movies, to be made with a mono soundtrack.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think that's really interesting facts. That is an interesting fact, don't you know?
Interesting. Almost as interesting as some of the photos I saw today.
Well, thanks. I was young. I needed the money. Yeah. It's a great film. It's a very, very funny script, isn't it?
What was the budget on it?
The budget was $12 million. And at the box office, it took $152 million.
I mean, $12 million is not insignificant for 88,
no.
Is it?
Considering not much... in terms of special effects, is required.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of practical stuff that happens, isn't there?
Yeah. I mean, the sets are superb, but the whole thing with the hotel and the statues.
Oh, my God, that is brilliant.
Yeah.
But the stuff with the car and the airbags and the other car going down the street. So I'm guessing a lot of money was spent there.
Yeah. And the nothing to see here outside the fireworks.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah. I guess, actually, hiring a whole baseball stadium probably wasn't that cheap.
I mean, it wasn't that cheap. And all the extras. Imagine. Mm.
But yeah, it's not a bad return, though, 152. Quite nice.
Yeah, that's very good. Yeah.
I'm not really sure what to say about the film because it is sort of, it's a comedy from a time that doesn't seem appropriate to 1988. It's more sort of early 80s with the whole airplane thing, or, you know, 1930s with the Marx Brothers.
But then this spawns, what, two sequels?
Mm-hmm.
And
so
then,
far.
And then there was Hot Shots Part 2. It did spawn a whole... It sort of brought that sense of humour back to people where it was just... It was funny because it was stupid.
I do think it's a case of diminishing returns. Hot Shots, I never really found that funny. A scary movie, some of it was good.
But that's it. I mean, it went way into the 2000s with these... I mean, some of the spoof films are still going now, of course. I think it is this, it's something that we've lost a little bit, which is that... Stupid
slapstick.
Yeah, it is very slapstick.
Silly, off the wall, bizarre, but actually genuinely funny.
Just think, the next time I shoot someone, I could be arrested for it. You know, little comments like that.
Evidence. What do you know? He was innocent.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he went to the chair 2 years ago. You're like, oh no.
Ah, forget it.
Yeah. Like, well, listen, if I see five people trying to stab someone in a park. That was an open-air production of Julius Caesar.
And they were quite good actors. Good actors.
Yes. But it's lines like that. It's brilliant. And the classic. The classic.
Go on.
Nice beaver.
Thanks. Just had it stuffed.
It's, yeah. It's,
yeah. It's, I mean, that has gone down into the annals of time, hasn't it? Yeah, brilliant. But there were other things that I don't know if I just completely missed when I was younger. Because I did watch it a couple of times when it first came out, I suppose. But there was one bit that just, I almost fell off the sofa today laughing. It's just after the bit with the car and the airbags.
Yeah.
And it just says, take down the details of all these people. I've got to go inside. And that's
and
it.
And
I don't know why
and
that was
quite
funny.
And there's a sting with it, isn't there? And he just like, looks.
What the fuck? Oh, it's just ridiculous. And I don't know why. But that almost fucking destroyed me.
It's the fact the car kept driving and then went round the corner.
Anybody get the license plate? Oh,
the bad
dearie.
Parking, the chalk line in the water.
Silly stuff.
I mean, you know what you're signing up for is when Nordberg walks in and he gets shot and then... Then he burns his hand, leans on some wet paint, and ends up in a wedding cake, slams his hand in a window. It's
one of my questions gone. it's very, very funny. And, that was one of the things I was going to say. Leslie Nielsen, who is a comedy fucking genius, hadn't really done much comedy before this, apart from Airplane, had been a serious actor. But we're recording this in February, and he was born in February 1926.
Oh,
so he would have been 97 years old this month.
Wow,
that's crazy, isn't it? We lost him, I think, 12 years ago, something like that.
Because he was no spring chicken when he was doing this.
No,
film.
Exactly.
He was what, early 60s?
He'd had a hell of a career.
Mm. Yeah, didn't he do Forbidden Planet or something like that? Some sort of sci-fi thing,
maybe.
I mean, that's the research done.
Yeah, exactly. At first, I have to be honest, I was worried that maybe it was going to be a little bit racist at the very start of the film. And I guess we were just all very fucking jumpy about playing foreigners now, if you like, for laughs on film and TV.
So you're talking about when he goes and tells them
not to come
to America.
Yeah. But just the fact you've got Yasser Arafat the Ayatollah Khomeini and all the other baddies, basically.
Gorbachev. And...
Basically, anyone that was a supposed enemy of the West. It's a bit of a roll call, isn't it, for 80s political baddies. But luckily, it didn't become...
Didn't do that at all.
No, it just happened to be characters to start the film off.
Yeah.
See, I was a bit concerned about that, but no, nothing really came of that.
And also, I mean, it's a film where you're not laughing at other, you're laughing at Drebin being such...
He's
like Inspector Gadget.
Yeah.
If you look at it like that.
Or Mr. Magoo.
He flukes his way through the result. You know, he ends up getting there, but how he gets there is not particularly conventional.
It's like, just an accident.
When he shoots somebody, and instead of shooting the baseball player, shoots the lady at the top who just falls down on top of him.
Oh, to the baseball player. Yeah. he is thoroughly incompetent.
Did you notice the guy who shouts out, it's Enrico Palazzo, or whatever else?
Yes. Who is that?
So he was chubby in Teen Wolf.
Yes. Yes, of course it was. I knew, yeah, I recognized.
He played chubby in Teen Wolf.
Yes. And I was like,
I looked at him and was like, oh my God.
Yes, I didn't. And I liked to just jump in to the end of the film as well, because at the end of it, in the credits, you get all the lines from the one-liner. So, hey, is Enrico Palazzo's there? But then you get things, and I'm not sure how serious they're supposed to be, some of them, because they're quite subtle if they're not genuine. So obviously you get all the lines from people, and then you've got woman who was cut from the fireworks scene, man who was cut from the fireworks scene, in case of a tornado. But I'm not sure if that's genuine, like an insurance company or just a gag. There's lots of little hidden things or things that are sort of almost hidden in plain sight. When he gets off the airplane at the beginning, there's the suitcases just being thrown out of the airplane.
Yeah.
And the gone off food on top of the fridge, which is sort of crawling along on its own after she leaves.
Yeah, it starts pulsating. One bit that got me is after the whole montage of...
Which one?
Something tells me I'm in
the love
something.
Montage.
It was, I've had a great day. I was like, really? I mean, that whole thing.
they address it though. And we only met yesterday.
That was just brilliant. Because it looks like it's a 6-month romance, doesn't it? And then
they clothesline the other couple in the scene.
Yes. You're not just saying this because we've exchanged bodily fluids. And the classic line, I faked every orgasm.
Drebin, Frank, you're both right.
Yes. I mean, that's the line that made us watch it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We were debating between that and Top Secret.
Yes. Yeah. Which is still on the list.
And Drebin, Frank. Yeah. Yes, you're both right.
It's his deadpan delivery, though. He is absolutely superb. I think he's a comic fucking genius.
And the pee scene, before Austin Powers did it, Frank Drebin did it.
Exactly.
That
yeah.
That whole having a long piss. It's the way he stood against the wall. We've all stood against the wall. What was the whoops? What happened with whoops?
It's just peeing on his feet. The sound changes from the instant onto his feet. Oops. Who's the woman who plays the mayor?
Oh, I recognise
her. I meant to look into who she was. I don't know if there's a way to find it right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I definitely recognise her, but she's really funny as well.
Nancy Marchand.
Okay, name doesn't ring a bell.
No, I don't know if there's... I mean, Naked Gun is what I would most of all recognise her from. Cheers? She was Hester Crane? No?
No. She looked like someone from
Annie.
We
don't just chuck this shit together. We do a lot of research.
Yeah, hell, man. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of influences of other films there. Obviously, the whole airplane thing, which is big. But one of the biggest ideas for the storyline of being an unwitting assassin surely has to be the Manchurian Candidate.
I remember that as well, being in a... I'm really off the wall. There was a Spider-Man TV show, a live-action Spider-Man TV show. Really bad, from the 70s, that did that same sort of thing as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't really remember the TV series, but I do remember, you know, the scar I've got on my chest?
Mm-hmm.
That was from falling off a slide in a friend of mine's back garden.
Yeah.
That's not a euphemism. And it was the night that TV series was starting on TV in this country. No, Spider-Man, the live-action one.
Oh, right, okay.
And we've been looking forward to it for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Mm.
Went round to Mark's house to play in his garden about 4 or 5 o'clock after school on a Friday night, knowing that Spider-Man was about to start. Going down the slide, it sort of tipped off a bit, and I went off the side and sliced my chest open. Had to go to hospital and missed the first episode. And being in those days, so we're talking very, very early 80s, maybe 81, 82.
No repeats.
No repeats. No recordings?
I chipped a tooth because of Spider-Man.
Did you?
Yeah, I thought if I believed it enough, I could stick to the wall. So I remember getting on the back of the couch, jumping up, and I fell and then rolled backwards and chipped my tooth.
Spider-Man's kids are fucking stupid,
honestly,
aren't they?
Spider-Man's got a lot to answer
he
for.
He really has. Do you think we can sue?
I think so.
Everyone sues now.
How have we gotten to a Spider-Man rant?
I don't know. If you've done it. Anyway, fuck it. Let's go to highlights and lowlights. Jeez, we've been going at this long enough. Be an odd numbers episode. Crack on.
All right. It would be remiss of me not to put one of my highlights as Leslie Nielsen.
Uh-huh.
I mean, generally, I just looked at him. What an expressive face. Yes, he plays everything deadpan, whatever else, but then when he's actually given an expression, the expression when he's clotheslining the couple in the sea, it's like, oh, fuck. You know, you can almost see he is Naked Gun. I mean, mm-hmm. without him, I'm not sure it would be as good. So he is completely one of my biggest highlights of this film. He mm-hmm. is phenomenal.
He is really good. And his physical comedy is really good as well. He doesn't get to do much of it.
But I also love
he's catching the...
Oh, my God. Catching the stuff with the ragtime stuff going on. And you hear the ching, ching, ching.
Exactly. One behind the back, one over there. He's very, very funny.
But also when it's not him being physical, when it's somebody that's blatantly a stunt double, he's doing backflips and then he's...
Oh, that was fucking genius.
He absolutely commits to that. He sits up and he's like, yeah, all right, what's going on?
Fucking brilliant. Yeah.
Leslie Nielsen.
Fair enough. Okay. My first highlight... are, if you like, the repeated gags.
Okay.
Because there's so bloody many of them. I just tried to grab a few as I was going through. The doors, whacking him in the face after he pushes them open. That happens at least twice. And his reaction to that is fucking genius. The prang the car.
The car parking,
Every time he parks it, whether it's into some bins, or reversing into the luggage carrier thing at the airport.
You might imagine he delivered pizza to the McAllister house.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Or you know, the guy's painting, he drives into the scaffolding.
Oh, that's brilliant. It's, and the way they're hanging off it.
And he just gets out and casually walks away, completely unaware. It's just so funny. And also, what I hadn't noticed before, and I meant to go back and watch it again to see if there were any other examples. So the hospital is called...
The hospital.
The police station is called the police station. It's so stupid, but it's so funny. Yeah, that was my first highlight. Just the repeated gags, doing the same thing over and over and over. And sometimes it completely ignoring the rule of three. And it works.
And Frank, it really that's not works. Your desk. Oh, right. There's lots of really, really... Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, the just loved humor
it.
Is brilliant.
It's very childish humor, but today...
And even when he brings up his ex, completely different stories.
Exactly, yeah. So, which ex died in the blimp?
Yeah, and which one left you for...
Exactly, for a whole fucking orchestra, whatever it was. Ridiculous. Brilliant.
My second highlight, and it does bleed into something we do later, mm-hmm. I really like the music in this.
Right.
Really like the music from the opening with the da 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 da, and it's very sort of superhero-y, and then it goes into the main theme. But all the underscores, everything it does with it is just perfect. It makes everything is just absolutely perfect. Even when they introduce, you know, I say a modern song, but you know, they introduce a song to the mix as well.
Bit of Randy Newman.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. It's Ira Newborn again. We've had him a few times now.
He takes everything in this film and heightens it. But harkening back to what you're saying about when he's in the office and everything's going, and you know, he had the piano going.
Yep.
It's hilarious. And the music really adds to it. Again, Leslie Nielsen and the music, they make this film as well. It repeats some themes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just brilliant.
The music, it's really varied as well. It's almost like a film of two scores. Ira Newborn, who we've had before, he actually, just a few episodes ago, he did Ferris Bueller's.
Oh, okay.
But he was also responsible for Planes, Trains and Automobiles and Weird Science. But actually, was the composer for the TV series of Police Squad as well. But we've got that sort of jazzy, film noirish, slutty sax. It's back big style with this, and even the main theme. As I've said to you before, when I get my own big band, that theme
is just brilliant.
You know exactly where you are with it.
It puts a big smile on your face, doesn't it?
It's such a happy, great tune. But also the whole thing with their sort of love theme. It's all sexy and sexy, and it sort of rumbles away underneath.
The roast dinner?
How'd you like it? Wet. Hot and exceedingly wet. But then on the flip side, you've got this almost James Bondish type score as well, which sort of rumbles away. It's quite ominous and adventure filmish, a bit Indiana Jonesy at the start, like you say.
Yeah.
It's a really, really good score, and it's a mix of synth and full orchestra, and it's superb.
It's brilliant, superb. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant.
And it also brings in to something good, as we mentioned before.
It's great,
sung by Peter Noon, the lead singer of Herman's Hermits, rather than Herman's. So it's a re-recording of the Herman's Hermits song. Wow, yeah, thanks, Andrea. I say Randy Newman. It's great. It's a fantastic score. It's really good.
Yep. So that is my second highlight.
Nice. My second highlight almost it's almost in there with my first highlight as well. It's almost stupidly bizarre. It's off the wall, and it's just some of the lines that just slaughter you for no reason. When he first meets Ludwig, he goes into his office and says, "How are you? The feeling's mutual. Nice to meet you." it's fucking stupid.
But it's almost like the actor had skipped the line, even though he hadn't skipped the line. It's that breaking.
It's almost that two Ronnies sketch. No, it's a Mastermind sketch where he had to answer the previous question.
Right. Yeah.
But he
does break that fourth wall in respect of things like
that. Yeah, it does a few bits to camera
around
as well.
The set.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. So Ed and Ted
walk through the door
and he just walks around it.
Yeah.
It's stupid. Obviously, like I said, I've got to get inside thing. In that scene with Ed and Ted when he's looking into the microscope and he just says, "Open eye, Frank."
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The bit where
you're going to break it as well.
It's just fucking brilliant. And the doctor that's trying to kill Nordberg when he throws the pillow at him. And he's the safe sex thing with a full body condom. The end of the Something Good montage where he walks away and it comes up with the credits on the screen. Like you're watching a music video.
And he's clicking his heels.
It's just so out there. And the different credit cards to open the door. And he's trying to break it. It's so stupid. It's genius.
One of the bits I really liked is when he's bribing the guy to tell him. And then the guy wants to know some information from him. He's like... Well,
maybe this will refresh your memory.
Yeah. He's getting the money back. And can you spot me a 20? Yeah.
And he ends up $20 up. Fucking bonus. It's brilliant. And as we said before, the outline of the body floating on the sea. Just ridiculous.
See, that's the thing. It's a testament of a very good film that we are quoting so many moments at each other now. Going, oh, what about this?
Do you fancy a nightcap? No, I don't wear them.
Let me change into something more comfortable.
A three-piece suit.
Sports jacket.
It's just ridiculous.
And when he pulls that sports jacket tie off and it still falls off, it is. And he's in fucking good shape for a guy in his 60s.
Oh, I'm that. Fucking hell. Yeah, so that's my second highlight. Just the bizarreness, the out there, off-the-wall-ness of it.
So on to lowlights. And I'm going to be a bit nitpicky here just to pick out some lowlights, really. Okay. I think maybe some of the jokes, they are of their time. Mm-hmm. Not in a sort of racist or sexist way like that. Yeah. But some of them don't land now because they were jokes for the 80s, I guess. Yeah. And that's one of my lowlights. And it's not the film's fault. It's the fact that it is 20-odd years later.
Any particular examples?
There was just some stuff I kind of went, that would have been really funny back then. Even to the point of, I actually had to research into a joke where they were doing all the commentators, and then there was the lady at the end, and she'd right. been on a quiz show, and it was something to do with she had a sports thing as a maybe it's something like Mastermind or
the
equivalent.
Yeah, I didn't. I guess that was because I know fuck all about baseball, basically.
Yeah, and she had a she was. You know, what was she called? Dr. Joyce Brothers or something like that. And she, or something like that. And she had, she was on a quiz show and had questions about boxing. I think they thought it'd be funny to bring her in to talk about baseball. So things like, little things like that.
That's bizarre, isn't it? A bizarre choice when it's not, I mean, even then they must have known that's not international.
And not going to age well.
Yeah.
Just the odd thing here and there that would be a throwaway comment about something of its time. Mm. And that's not the film's fault. That's the fault of, us all getting older.
Yeah, 30 years later.
So yeah, I mean, as I say, I'm being really nitpicky by saying that. So just some of the, and I'm glad I'm not saying that some of the jokes haven't aged well, because you're like, oh my God, that's so awkward now.
Race or sex.
I've had none of that really.
No. Luckily with this film, there doesn't seem to be much of that. Well, I could say maybe slightly uncomfortable feeling at the beginning, but then no, nothing else.
No.
I mean, obviously there's not many female characters in it, but... Yes. Anyway, I've only got one low light, and I think that it just runs out of steam in the third act. It's barreling along all the way through the first two acts, and it's very funny, and it doesn't let. I mean, the story's arguably incredibly lightweight.
Oh God, yeah.
But as soon as we get to the baseball match, it sort of grinds to a halt.
It does, doesn't it?
But again, it's really nitpicky because I was just enjoying it so much, and it's such a short runtime. It almost doesn't matter, but it just does run out of steam in that bit.
That does kind of lead me to my second thing, my second low light, which is because I enjoyed the film, I wanted it to be just a touch longer. Maybe they could have done something to sort out the third act and extended it a little bit, because then some of it just felt it felt slow, then it felt rushed. And
Yeah.
I'd like maybe 10 minutes extra.
Five.
All right, just to make it a perfect film for you.
Yeah, like I said, it's a very small nitpicky thing for me, because it still barrels along quite well.
I agree with you, Butterwings.
I should have written some down, shouldn't I?
Should have done Schnooky Lumps.
For goodness sake. Whatever, that's our highlights and lowlights.
And we kind of touched on the music.
I've got nothing more to say about the music, really.
I tell you what, then what comes in the next section, Dan?
Well, you know, we're going to have a short break now, top up our glasses. Mm-hmm. I need a pee, I know that much. And then we're going to come back for the quiz.
The what?
The quiz.
Oh, okay.
And you know what they say about the quiz?
What do they say about the quiz?
Mr. Kipling makes exceedingly good quizzes.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, that's terrible.
Sure.
That joke is not aged well.
Rude.
And we're back! Part three of Darren and Matt's Aces Adventure, where we are talking about naked people playing with guns.
Anyway, at this point in the quiz... In the quiz? Sangria has kicked in. At this point in the podcast, we're going to have a quiz, basically.
Eyes down for a full house.
Yes, and now we're at episode 81. If you listen to the last episode, you'll know what a bit of a battle we had.
Oh my God, did we have a battle?
Yeah, but after...
Well, yeah, this is our first episode back after a couple of weeks away, isn't it?
So we've reset now. It's the first episode of this block of 10. So we've had 8 blocks of 10 so far. Is that
right? And, let's just get this over with.
So those who are new listeners... we have a 10-episode battle, if you like. Every 10 episodes, we announce a winner of that block.
A winner?
Of 10.
A winner?
Shut up! We announce a winner of that block of 10. And out of the 8 blocks we've had already, the score is... Oh, yeah, it's 8-0 to me.
I can pretty much guarantee if it had been the other way around, Darren would not be making such a meal of this. He wouldn't be going, so, yeah, we do 10 and then blah, blah, blah. And if I'd have won every one, you'd just go, right, let's move on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, I'm one of you. So it's the first quiz of this block of 10.
Yes, it is, Schnooky Lumps.
0-0 as we start. Being an odd-numbered episode, you get to ask the first question.
Okay, then, Darren. Question number one for you.
Yes.
Let's look at the beginning of the film.
Mm-hmm.
All right, one of the generals is wearing a badge celebrating his weight loss. How much weight has he lost?
Oh. Is it 23 or 32? 23 pounds.
Correct.
Nice. Okay. Question one for you.
Uh-huh.
What's the name of Frank's ex?
Victoria.
Yes, one to you.
Question number two for you. How many times was Nordberg shot?
Six.
Correct.
Oh, we've both done our work this week. Okay. Question two for you.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of the takeaway of the stale Chinese food?
Wong Wu's.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
Kung Wu's.
Oh.
Yeah. Did you see it with the subtitles on?
Yes.
The subtitles were wrong.
Yeah. I Wong Wu, gotta let me have that. Come on.
Why?
Because I checked it with the subtitles. I was like, oh, Wong Wu's then. Okay.
But if you look at the thing, it's Kung Wu's.
Oh, I didn't look at the thing.
Yeah. All right, I'll let you have that one.
Thank you.
See, I'm being nice. I even took a picture.
I bet you did.
I did. Because I thought, hang on, that's not right. Yeah, Kung Wu's.
Oh, yeah. The subtitles lied.
Lying bastard subtitles.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
That's two each.
That is two nice. Each. All right.
Yeah.
Then, all right then.
All right then.
Oh, that's so nice you gave me that one. Thank you. What hotel is the Queen's reception at?
Oh. Is it something like the Ambassador or something like that?
What's your answer?
I'll say the Ambassador.
Yes.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Fucking hell, I pulled that out somewhere. Okay. Question number three for you.
Oh, God, this is so tense.
How many cities is the Queen visiting while she's in the US?
Oh, I'm going to have to pull this out of my ass because I don't know. Three.
Is that your final answer?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
No!
Yeah. Oh, so at the end of our three questions each, it's a tie, three each, which means...
Boom!
Go on, then.
Where is Ludwig Towers located? What's the address?
Oh, I was going to fucking make a note of this as well. I don't know, 53rd Street.
Number One Park Plaza.
Oh, this could be it, Matt. What shall we go for?
I don't know, but it scares me when you look over your list.
Okay, what's the mayor's name?
Goldie Wilson.
Is that your final?
Yeah, I've no idea.
Oh, Mayor Barkley.
No, I wouldn't have been able to pull that out of my ass at all. Oh,
Christ, I'm going to run out of questions here.
All right, Do we stick with names? Yeah, we stick with names. What's Ed's wife called?
Oh! Is it Priscilla? I'm going to go Priscilla.
Ethel.
Oh, fuck. Not Priscilla in the slightest then. Ooh, okay, 5-4 to you.
God.
Which do I go with?
Okay. The easy one.
What's Nordberg's wife called?
Mrs. Nordberg. she is called Rachel.
Is that your final answer? Wilma.
Wilma, oh, nice name.
Oh, fucking hell. So that's five each at the end of five questions.
Goodness me.
Mm.
Okay. Some of these questions I think you'll get.
Yeah. I'm looking at mine as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the baseball game, who is playing?
The Dodgers. I don't know.
The California Angels and the Seattle Mariners.
Okay. I take your word for that. Ooh. Question number six for you.
Uh-huh.
Who is the baseball player that's going to kill the queen?
No, that's... Is it Randy Jackson?
Randy Jackson? guy from X Factor? Or American Idol?
Randy Newman?
The singer.
Oh, yeah. it's not even a Randy, is it? No. No, I can't remember.
Give me an answer.
Randy Jackson.
Okay. Well, I don't know his first name, but the name on his shirt is Jackson. So I'll give that to you.
Oh, whoa.
Nice. But that's all very well and good. What's his number?
Oh,
that's it. You've won. You've won.
Who was it then?
I don't know his first name, but it was Jackson, number 44. There you go. So at the end of this quiz, you've won that one. That's
God. Oh, thank
1-0
you.
1-0 to you.
Well, I feel like you've been very good to me.
I'm
just going to quickly find out who he was, though. Reggie Jackson.
Reggie.
But
yeah.
Oh, thank
and
you.
And didn't he actually meet the Queen at some point a few years later when she went to a baseball match?
Oh, I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alternate questions?
Yeah.
At the end of the titles, they end up at Donut Shop.
Yes.
How much is a dozen?
$1.99.
And what time are they open from until?
Noon to midnight. Yeah,
I thought you'd get
that. Yeah, yeah.
What harbour does Norberg get shot at?
Oh, Los Angeles Harbor.
Yes.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
What is the airline Frank flies back on?
This is one of mine, but without looking at it's something like American International, something like that.
Atlantic Overseas Air.
Yeah, okay.
How much is the Japanese fighting fish worth?
$20,000.
Perfect, yep. What's the hospital name?
Oh, well, apart from the hospital.
Yeah.
It's something like Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle or something.
That's it, yeah.
Which is ridiculous. I love that.
What is the driving student called?
Stephanie.
And the name of the fireworks shop?
Ooh, it's something like Flambeau's or something. I can't remember.
Feldman.
Feldman's. Okay.
Feldman Fireworks, yeah. Frank's previous career?
Ooh, where's that stated? Teacher? No idea.
He'd have to go back to riding motocross.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, nice.
What was the make of condom?
Titans.
Yes.
Yeah.
How many people at the game?
15,000.
60,000.
Okay.
That was it. Those are my alternates.
Nice. Okay. Which company provided the things for the suitcases at the airport?
Oh, yeah. I saw this at the back of the truck.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Din or Dine Air, D-Y-N. And what was the name of the hot dogs?
I didn't clock that.
Dugout dogs.
Because there was two hot dogs. There was the ones they had during the date.
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. At the game, dugout dogs. What happens to Norberg after he gets shot? We talked about that earlier. Bangs head, burns hand, wet paint, fingers under window, wedding cake and bear trap.
Yep. Oh, the bear trap. That made me howl, man.
What hospital room is Norberg in?
As in name or the number?
The number.
I think it was 204.
204. What's the telephone number for the teen driving school?
Well, 555.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
I don't have this, but I think it was something like 0398.
3900. So that's obviously ticking away somewhere in there.
Yeah.
During the love montage, what's the name of the boat they're on?
Love boat?
The Buccaneer Queen.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. What is Drebin's heritage?
His father was Welsh.
And Dutch/Irish.
Dutch/Irish, yeah.
And what's the name of the condoms? Titans with special reservoir.
Nice. Makes you wonder what
is Jane's surname?
Spencer.
Yeah. Which makes me think maybe it was a little nod to Lady Di there.
Possibly.
Yeah. All right, there we go. That's my alternatives as well. Well done. 1-0 to you as we start
Brandy
this
Jackson,
block.
At least there was a Jackson.
Exactly. Don't miss Jackson. Well, anyway, that's last orders at the bar, I suppose.
Last orders at the bar, please. Last orders at the bar.
Well, there we go. That's our look at The Naked Gun from 1988.
Yeah.
Now what we're going to do is sum it up, what we feel about it, and give it a score out of 10.
And do you know what? We had a little brief chat during the intermission. And this is the beauty of doing a podcast like this, that you can have an idea of what you would score a film when you finish it. But then when you talk about it, when you relive moments with your mate and you're talking, like there's very few occasions that we will both sit and quote bits from the film and laugh about them. And that's something that's special about this film, that it's got so many quotable moments.
Mm.
I'll be honest, when I finished it, I thought, it's great. I still enjoyed it. Yes, it could do with being a bit longer, etc. So I thought, I think a fair score is maybe a 7. But the more I sit and talk about it with you, the more I'm like, and I still smile at some of the moments and go, do you know what? And from a 12 million budget to what it did and changing, you know, things like this for a long time. Because Airplane, yes, it was big, but for me, Naked Gun was huge.
It really was, yeah.
So I think I would have to, just on the strength of the music, Leslie Nielsen, the writing, the way it was shot, everything, the way it's put together, I'm going to have to whack it an 8.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. It is up there. It is definitely up there. I didn't leave this film disappointed. I remember certain things being funnier, or maybe I went in with just such high expectations.
Yeah.
But then going back and talking about it with you, I'm still laughing about it.
Some bits. I mean, for Leslie Nielsen alone,
he is just
fucking genius. Comedy genius.
He does so much with so little. He'll take one line and just deliver it so slowly, and then just maybe a little turn or a little look.
Exactly, yeah. And there's no prattling around. There's no overemphasizing.
He's a straight man.
Yeah, exactly. But because of that, it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed this. I think I went into it, actually, almost not wanting to watch it, but not wanting to ruin the memory of it, if that makes sense.
That does make complete sense.
I wasn't disappointed. The cast are great. George Kennedy's amazing. Priscilla Presley is fantastic. Ricardo Montalban as the villain.
He is brilliant. I looked at what he did when he was talking to... sorry to interrupt.
No, you crack on.
But when he was talking to Leslie Nielsen and it's a certain movement he did on one of his lines, I was like, that's an interesting choice as an actor to do that. And it's more theatrical than it is cinematic. And he was brilliant.
Well, he was brought on board by the Zuckers and the rest of the production team because of what they'd seen in Star Trek 2, wasn't he?
Yes.
And he's a proper actor. And like I say, with him and Nielsen delivering everything, almost not deadpan, but and that's the way to play comedy. And it doesn't always happen in these types of films, but you play it absolutely straight. And that's what makes it really funny. You're not gurning and being an idiot. Yes, there are bits when he's hanging off the statue and with the penis and stuff like that.
Oh my God.
The stone dildo.
And the fact that the statue's got a big smile on its face.
Exactly. And it is silly. But he plays it almost, for 99% of the film, 100% straight. And that's what, I think, destroyed me. It's
also,
so silly.
It's when he starts to get the crowd recognition for what he's saying. And he's
like,
and he's loving it. He's living his best life.
Oh, brilliant! And apparently, the whack in his helmet from the bat was a little nod from
Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks,
yeah.
Sorry. Going back to my job at this point, I really enjoyed it. It was always a case of right. What is wrong with this film? Is it a 10 out of 10 film? And it's not. Like I said, there are issues with it. It does run out of steam a little bit in the third act. There are a few things that just could have been a bit funnier. But it doesn't become in our last episode with Good Morning Vietnam, it became almost an intentional vehicle for Robin Williams. This is just still a film. And that, I think, is a big plus point. As I said, there's a few things wrong with it. But, yeah, I think I'm going to go for an 8 as well.
16 out of 20.
16 out of 20, yeah. Yeah. There we go. That's our look at The Naked Gun. What do you guys think? Have you seen this film lately? Do you watch this film every weekend? Have you never seen this film? Let us know what you think. Share your thoughts. Don't forget, you can join us on Facebook and on Twitter. All you need to do is get yourself some internet.
Get yourself some internet.
There's loads of it around. Squirt your thoughts onto that. And yeah, let us know. It'd be great to hear from you.
That's it. Yeah. So please get in touch. Podcast at Ages Adventure, or just message us on Facebook. We'll get back to you as well. We love hearing from you guys.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, with that in mind, then.
Yes.
Next week's film.
Uh-huh.
So the tagline for next week's film. Are you ready for this, Darren?
I am. I'm ready for this, Matthew.
All right. They changed her diapers and she changed their lives.
No, I can't say that.
No. So, yeah, that is the tagline for next week. If you know, you know. If you don't, then please look at our Facebook throughout the week where the trailer will be released.
Yes, it will. Yeah.
Daz, I've had a really good time with this film.
Me too.
It's been really good looking back on it. And to be honest, I think this might inspire me to go and watch the second and third. I think the second was...
Best of the Best did for me.
Oh, yes, I'm sure it did. Do you know, I'm still listening to Best of the Best at the gym and sending pictures to Darren. Course.
Yeah, he is. He actually is, though. He's not lying.
At least I'm going to the gym.
Exactly, you know? At least Best of the Best has inspired. Back at the gym now.
So you should listen to the Best of the Best soundtrack. Mm. Or even Naked Gun, you know, as you do watching the film.
Brilliant.
Well, it's been absolutely fantastic. It's been absolutely fantastic.
It has been fantastic.
And as Darren says, please get in touch. But Darren, anything else?
No.
Until next time then, I've been Matt.
And I am Darren.
Cheersy! All right, come on, Snooky Lumps.
Come on, you Japanese fighting fish. You're not a fucking fighting fish, huh?
That's one of my questions, huh?
It's actually a lionfish. Nerd.